This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
America will not impose our own style of government on the unwilling. Our goal instead is to help others find their own voice, attain their own freedom, and make their own way. The great objective of ending tyranny is the concentrated work of generations. The difficulty of the task is no excuse for avoiding it. America's influence is not unlimited, but fortunately for the oppressed, America's influence is considerable, and we will use it confidently in freedom's cause.
President Bush delivering his second inaugural address from the steps of the U.S. Capitol on Thursday. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And there have been a little over a dozen, 16 to be exact, second inaugurals in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. What do you think will stand out about this one?
Well, I guess what I remember is the sense of perplexity I had as this visionary president, laying aside the cares and the woes of governing America, devoted almost entirely his address to advancing the cause of liberty and overcoming tyranny around the world. More and more, it seems that he sounded a little bit like I remember President Reagan, who promised to support freedom fighters around the world. This is the latest example of that. I think, however, if he's trying to advance ballot box democracy, he should be aware of episodes in history like Algeria in 1991, where they had a free election, and a lot of Islamic extremists were elected. The army then had to, or did anyway, cancel the election, and that led the way to a civil war in Algeria that lasted for a decade. Or let me, without running on too long, mention one other thing that I recall in this connection. Last year, the Pew organization conducted a poll. The poll showed Osama bin Laden supported by 65, 55, and 40% respectively of people in Pakistan, Jordan, and Morocco. And Bush supported or disapproved by 67, 96, and 90% in the same countries. Since that speech, his spokespeople have been very busy explaining that he wants to combat tyranny over a long period and that a vision is not a policy, now they tell me.
But I wonder, in all the analysis that's followed, is it measurably different from John Kennedy's very famous the first inaugural, the only inaugural he had, obviously, in 1961?
Well, yeah, ask not phrase. I think that the speech was pretty good, and Kennedy's speech was pretty good, except that Kennedy delivered a speech very well, and President Bush didn't.
Okay, let me go on to the hearings in Condoleezza Rice's nomination as Secretary of State. Senate Democrats decided to delay the vote on her confirmation until next week.
Yeah.
During 2 days of questioning, she took questions about the administration's decision that led up to the war in Iraq, also pressed about the wisdom of some decisions that were made after the start of the war and during the first days of the occupation. What stood out about that testimony for you?
Well, I learned from it that Condi Rice, I didn't know it before, is one very tough lady. The Democrats on the Foreign Relations Committee, and it was mainly Democrats, gave her a hard time. They failed to learn what they wanted to know, which was the dynamic of her relationship with President Bush, and about decisions in Iraq, and who started it, and who was the one who finally accepted it. Senator Boxer pressed her very hard on a couple of contradictory statements that were made by the president and by her on the Iraq war. And all the Democrats could do, in spite of the Boxer rebellion, was to hold up the vote for a few days.
Let me ask you about another transition. Michael Pollan, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, who, of course, happens to be the son of the outgoing Secretary of State, Colin Powell, announced that he's resigning. How do you believe his tenure at the FCC is going to be remembered?
Well, I guess that it's only a coincidence that Mr. Powell follows General Powell's father out of the government. How will Powell be remembered? I think for two things, for his zeal for deregulation of the media and telecommunications as well, and his zeal also for enforcing demands on the media, demands for decency, like fining CBS, poor CBS, $500,000 for Janet Jackson's so-called wardrobe malfunction during halftime at the Super Bowl.
Of course, in Iraq, the election approaches. There was more violence this weekend, including a car bomb in a Shiite mosque, the beheading of two Iraqis who worked at a U.S. military base. New audio tape on the Internet warns that insurgency in Iraq would last for months and years. Mm-hmm. That January 30th date, though approaches. What do you see surrounding this election right now this week?
Well, on the theory that nothing will get better and everything will get worse if the insurgency forces them to postpone the election, my guess is that they will not postpone it. Both the U.S. and the interim Malawi government seem to be determined to go ahead. The insurgency has now taken on some of the aspects of a Sunni-Shiite civil war, and I imagine that civil war will continue and perhaps expand after the election. Speaking of Iraq, mm-hmm. It should be noted the New York Times has a lead story this morning saying that $300 million in U.S. currency meant to buy tanks and weapons for the Iraqi military was somehow taken from the central bank, boxed, and shipped on a charter jet to Lebanon. Who done it and why? A mystery.
Does it have anything to do with the fact, the announcement that Ahmed... you might want to pick that up, Dan. It's a little early for a pizza, isn't it? listen, does it have any relationship that you can judge from the distance to the announcement that Ahmed Chalabi is soon going to be arrested and charged with, I guess the exact charge is maligning the reputation of the Iraqi Defense Ministry?
Well, he's charged with maligning the... there's also some other charges, accused at some point of having taken money from the defense ministry. Now, what money in the defense ministry and $300 million missing have to do with each other, I think it's going to take a little time to find out.
The deployment of thousands of Palestinian security forces in northern Gaza by the new president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, does this represent, in your judgment, a new departure and possibility of peace negotiations reopening?
I think yes. I think that Sharon had said he wasn't going to negotiate with them unless he did something about the terrorist acts. They are planning to do something about it, and so they've resumed negotiations, and for the moment, things look a little hopeful.
Roger Clemens signing one more contract, $18 million. Must tempt you to come out of retirement and pitch for the Yankees, Dan.
I'm more than twice his age. And I wish people wouldn't talk about age. The guy can hit a ball, so can I.
Actually, he throws them, but thanks very much, Dan Shore.